Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Oh, it's not official, but we are awfully close, folks. The NFL lockout is coming to an end. This is the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. I'm going to break it down for you. We figured now is a good time to go around the league, get you guys ready for your fantasy football drafts, because it's all going to come bing, bang, boom real quick here once that lockout becomes official. We're going to have an NFL free agent frenzy, and then fantasy football drafts are going to be up and running and coming about. We're going to take on a wild ride the next 120 minutes, 2 hours, commercial-free, right here, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, brought to you by All Access Football. Make sure you check us out on NFLDraftBible.com. I am your host for the next 2 hours, Rick Saratella, and I want to welcome in the stars of the show. First with me, we have the good Reverend Ralph Mancini from the NFLDraftBible.com.
Hey, what's going on, Rick? Did somebody say lockout?
What lockout? And we don't know about lockouts here, but we do know about fantasy football appetites. That would be none other than the Fantasy Taz 64 leagues last year, baby.
Hey, guys, how you doing today? Thanks for the invite. Always love to talk some football.
Oh, yeah, glad to have you on as a special guest. And, you know, you have a new website, goaheadscore.com, that I really like following the question of the day, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter. You can follow them at Fantasy Taz, and I want to start off with the question that you had. It seemed like you drew a lot of comments there, Taz, with your Randy Moss question, and you threw it out there, so let's go over to the Reverend Ralph Mancini and ask him what he thinks. The question being, Rev, do you think Randy Moss is still a viable fantasy football contributor?
Well, obviously he's not a superstar anymore. He's not anything close to that. What I think Randy Moss is at this point is I think he's a guy that's going to make a big play here or there, not consistently, though. He's not going to be a consistent contributor. We saw that in the first half last year. The guy did make some big plays, and then the second half he just fell off a cliff. So what I think is, for fantasy purposes, I think he's a guy that maybe you take in the 12th or 13th or 15th round if he falls to you. I'm not going to break my back trying to get him, and I really wouldn't want him on my team, but I do think that the guy still has a little bit of value, but he's got to come in with the work ethic, because the guy is a lazy bum. We all know that about him. So it's risky. You know, why would you want to risk bringing this guy in your fantasy team not knowing whether or not he's going to have a desire to play or not? But I do think if he is motivated, I think that he can be an occasional contributor, and he'll make a big play here or there.
Okay,
but my
Taz,
whole thing with that is, you made the point of if he's motivated. You know, it seemed like like you said, the first 4 or 5 weeks last year, he did okay. Nothing out spectacular, but he did have 5 touchdowns. So, you know, he's still got that in him, and we know that. But the fact of the matter is, he really didn't make it work for 3 teams last year. And again, I keep coming back to the one single fact that Tennessee couldn't even figure out a way to get him on the field at the same time as Kenny Britt, and that just amazes me.
Well, you know, Tennessee did do a poor job using him, but you make a good point. 3 teams in 1 season. But, Taz, let me put it to you this way. You know, there's some free agent wide receivers out there in the NFL, and we're going to go position by position in a second, but this seems to be a hot topic. You know, you got Randy Moss. You got Terrell Owens with this leg injury surgery now, and you have Plaxico Burress coming, you know, out of jail the past 2 years. All of these veteran guys have a lot of question marks around them. Which one of these guys, if you had to roll the dice with one for your fantasy squad, which one guy would you take the chance with?
Oh, no doubt in my mind, I'd take Terrell Owens. Surgery or no, I really could care less. The one thing I always love about Owens is he leaves it all on the field. There's no question. When he's on the field, he's giving you everything he has.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio here. Rick Saratella, Reverend Ralph Mancini, the Fantasy Taz, taking you through the next 2 hours. We're going to break it down position by position, all the stuff you need to know for your upcoming fantasy football draft. We'll be doing more shows, obviously. You can check out our archives on the All Access Football Radio channel here on Blog Talk Radio. Now let's start off with quarterbacks, guys. Everybody loves to talk about the QB position. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you that Brady, Breeze, Manning, you know, are the top guys. But let's talk about, you know, if you do not get an elite premier top quarterback for your fantasy football team, a lot of times, you know, I've won championships where I've drafted my quarterback in those middle to late rounds and have gotten some great value. And I want to start off with some of those mid-round value quarterbacks that are on your guys' radar. I'm going to start off with the Reverend Ralph Mancini.
You know, I got three guys here. I'm going to start off with Josh Freeman. You know, here's a guy that, I mean, I loved him ever since he came out of college. I expected him to be a top quarterback within about 2 or 3 years, but already in his second year, last year, I mean, this guy made tremendous strides. And what I really like about him is how he made a lot of plays under duress. He wasn't playing behind a good offensive line, but the guy just kept on making plays. He's very athletic, can make throws outside of the pocket, and obviously he has size and arm strength. I think, you know, within a year or two, this guy is going to be a top 6 or 7 quarterback in the league, and I think you can win with him this year. I also like Sam Bradford. Here's a guy who put up tremendous numbers, did throw a lot of interceptions last year, but I think with Josh McDaniels there as the offensive coordinator, you know, the same guy that was there in New England when Brady threw 50 touchdown passes a few years ago, he is going to be Bradford's offensive coordinator this year. I think they're going to focus on Bradford, trying to go a little bit deeper, making some more big plays than he did last year. And obviously, he's one of the more accurate guys out there. So I see great things up ahead for Sam Bradford. And then finally, I'm going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, here's a guy who, a few years ago, I remember him being a backup quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. And this guy, I mean, he had no arm. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this guy still in the league? How does he have a job? But the guy's really improved in the past couple of years. And what I really like about him, I like his attitude, I like his leadership, and the fact that the guys around him really believe in him. And the other thing you like about Buffalo, about their offense in general, is their defense is so bad that they're going to be playing from behind a lot. And Fitzpatrick and Stevie Johnson and Freddie Jackson, all of those guys, they're going to be putting up a lot of garbage time points. So I'm going to go with Freeman, Bradford, and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep, three guys that I do like there, Rev. And we saw last year Fitzpatrick airing the ball out. I think you could expect to see some more of that. Of course, Josh McDaniels taking over as the offensive coordinator in St. Louis for Sam Bradford. How much of an impact that has in terms of learning a new offense, second year, second offense, remains to be seen. But Sam Bradford's a talented kid. Let's throw it over to Fantasy Taz for his mid-round quarterback value picks.
Bradford's an easy one, but I'll go one a little better in Eli Manning. He just doesn't get any respect in fantasy football circles. He turned the ball over a ton last year and still was a top 10 quarterback in most scoring systems. He, you know, 4,000 yards 2 years in a row. Just a great guy. You can get him late, you know, either late eighth or in the ninth round. I think he brings incredible value there when you're seeing guys picking a quarterback in the second, third round. That six-round switch is definitely not going to be made up in the number of points per game difference you're going to see between the two of them. So, you know, Eli is obviously my number one. Some other guys I like, Jay Cutler, going behind guys like Bradford. I mean, second year in the March offense, I really expect Jay Cutler to bounce back and have a good year. Joe Flacco, again, another guy who's just undervalued. I think with the two new wide receivers they have, I really think this offense is going to start to click. I think Torrey Smith is the one big piece that they needed. They needed that deep home run threat who's a great red zone presence, and I think he's going to make a difference even in his first year. Mark Sanchez is another one. He just doesn't get the respect. He's not going to put up huge fantasy points every week. And, of course, right now he's in danger of losing both starting wide receivers to free agency, no matter what people say. So it could be totally changed. The one thing I get from Sanchez when I see him is he always seems to step up when he needs to step up. And he definitely seems to have a great command of that huddle when he's in there. And you just don't see that a ton from very young guys. So those are guys I'm, you know, really think are mid to late round values.
Yeah, I got to say, great job there, fellas. I mean, you pretty much named every quarterback that was on my list. So I would say we're pretty much all in agreement in all the guys that you mentioned. I think the one guy that probably sticks out to me is Eli Manning, because I think people are down on him because of all the interceptions last year. But this guy's going to come back. He's going to bounce back, rebound. He's going to be good for 30 touchdowns. And you can probably get him in the mid to late rounds. You know, here in New York, New Jersey, there's a lot of people down on Eli. Sometimes, you know, people don't draft him. I plucked him 1 year, a couple years ago, very late in my fantasy draft, and was able to win a championship with him. So, you know, don't be discouraged by the Eli Manning interceptions. You know, will he have 15, 18, 20 interceptions? Possibly, but he is going to have 30 touchdowns. He is going to have 3,500 to 3,800 yards. And that's a quarterback that you can get into mid-late round value that's going to produce like one of these top quarterbacks that are going to be selected ahead of him. So, talking quarterbacks here with the Reverend Ralph Mancini Fantasy Taz, bust out quarterbacks is next on our hit list, and we're going to start off with Taz on this one.
I'm going to start with Sam Bradford. I really like what I saw out of him last year. I think they're going to need to solidify that wide receiver core and hope they stay healthy to have some kind of continuity through the season. But the fact that Josh McDaniels is coming there, he's going to figure out a way to make this offense work in a lot more efficient style. Whether you like the guy as a head coach or not, he can definitely generate a good offense. So I'm really looking for Bradford to take a major step up this year. Next one is Colt McCoy. You know, people just don't really give him a lot of faith or anything, but his numbers actually came pretty close to Bradford's last year if you give him the same amount of games and extrapolate out. Just a little bit less, but definitely not as bad as some people tend to think he was, and I think the addition of Greg Little is going to help that offense a ton this year as they really get a prototypical number one receiver out there. I think Colt Mitchell is another guy who's going to step up in the wide receiver core. So I really like what they're doing there, and I think Colt McCoy is going to surprise. I'm not saying he's going to be a number one quarterback by any stretch of imagination, but if you want a quarterback you can steal very, very late in the draft as a backup to one of the studs, I think he's a perfect addition. And then my last one is Alex Smith of San Francisco. I think Jim Harbaugh is just going to be a great influence on him, get him to focus on just to play the game, and I think we're going to see him take a major step forward.
All right, some interesting guys there from Taz, Colt McCoy, Alex Smith, two quarterbacks that, you know, you don't hear too many people talking about, Rev.
Yeah, you know, something that's interesting, I didn't expect Taz to bring up Alex Smith because I kind of see him also emerging next year with Harbaugh at the helm there. You know, one thing to keep in mind with Alex Smith last year, he was sacked 44 times. That was the fifth most in the league. And, you know, those are conditions that, you know, most quarterbacks cannot succeed in. So I think with a stronger running game and a better offensive line, better blocking ahead of him, I think Alex Smith is a guy that could be a bust-out guy, not saying that he's going to put up, you know, 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, but, you know, a guy that could be a solid guy, a backup-type quarterback in fantasy leagues that you can actually plug in maybe two or three times during the year. But, you know, the big guy here that I want to really emphasize on as a bust-out quarterback, obviously, is Matthew Stafford. I mean, here's a guy, you talk about talent, you talk about intelligence, the way the ball comes out of his hand quickly, and obviously his arm strength and overall athleticism. He's a guy who has it all except the durability. So I'm going to say that he is going to bust out, but, again, I'm not saying that he's going to be healthy for 16 games. I do think that if you're counting on him for half a season, you know, for 8 to 10 weeks during the year, I think he'll give that to you this year, and he'll put up great numbers during those weeks. So he's my other bust-out guy.
Yeah, but you know what? I can't argue about the talent. He shows every time he does step on the field, even if it's only for three or four plays, that he has the talent. But the fact of the matter is, this is the exact same thing we were saying about him last year.
Yeah, true, True, but I mean, he does have even a better supporting cast, I think, this year.
Oh,
with
no,
a better running game.
Absolutely agree with that.
You know, and I have to say this. You know, Martin Mayhew, he has put a team around Matt Stafford that, you know, all the pieces are now in place. The one missing ingredient they now need is production from that quarterback play, and Stafford is that missing link. If this guy can stay healthy, this is going to be a very good football team, and it's a lot of ifs. But, you know, Matthew Stafford could bust out, but put an asterisk next to him because it's an ultimate roll of the dice. It's the ultimate risk-reward, boom-bust type of pick.
Well, I'll tell you one. I'll even go so far as to say I think Detroit's going to be a good team even if Stafford doesn't play because I think they have too many other good pieces in place right now.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Sean Hill came in and did a competent job last year. You know, he then got injured. I think even Drew Stanton saw some time. But, you know, they got to see some consistency out of Matt Stafford. He's one guy I had targeted. You know, Rev, I know you mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick as a mid-round value. I actually had him listed as a bust-out guy because I think he's going to continue to progress. And I think that, you know, with Stevie Johnson emerging as a bona fide deep threat, I think, you know, Lee Evans still has a little bit of gas left in the tank. One guy also
I think Lee Evans
is
a hybrid, dude. I don't think he ever had any gas in the tank.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think playing opposite of Stevie Johnson, he's going to get his numbers. He's going to get his touchdowns. And
Hold on. Let me roll back my thought. I'm pretty sure we heard this 3 years ago when Terrell Owens came to town.
Hey, you got a good memory, Taz. But hey, has Lee Evans not put up numbers in his career?
He's a good NFL wide receiver. He just sucks for fantasy. You can never count on him.
Okay, when Terrell
Owens
was in town.
Yeah, he's an underachiever. He's the ultimate underachiever.
When Terrell Owens was in town, he had 63 catches for over 1,000 yards.
And it was one of his best seasons because Owens was in town.
Well, the year before that, he had 82 for 1,292. You know, he had 7 touchdowns in 2009. You know, you got Stevie Johnson stepping up, and I think who was throwing Lee Evans the ball when Terrell Owens was in town? You had Trent Edwards. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a much more competent quarterback, able to get him the ball. And I think Lee Evans, well, hey, listen, you know, is he going to have a career year? No. Is he going to catch 60 balls and have 800-plus yards and maybe 5 or 6 touchdowns minimum? I think so.
Well, you know, you got a lot of people hyping David Nelson. You got a lot of people hyping Marcus Easley. It's going to be hard to see who comes out of that as a
how about Donald Jones? So you know what? You got to be on the field to do it. And Donald Jones, Marcus Easley, all these guys, Sean Nelson, they're all coming off injury. Lee Evans plays every game every year. Yeah. All right, guys, let's keep it moving here on the quarterback topics. Those were some bust-out quarterbacks. Let's talk about some quarterbacks to avoid. I know I got a couple guys. We'll start it off with Taz.
Well, you know, let's just get right to it. My first quarterback to avoid is Ryan Fitzpatrick. you know, he came in last year and set the fantasy world on fire with his first 4 games. I think he threw 11 touchdowns in those games and only 4 interceptions. He even had the one big game against the Baltimore, at Baltimore, where he threw for, what, almost 375 yards and 4 touchdowns, and really just everybody was abuzz about him. But then if you look at the rest of the season after that, he really took a mighty big downturn for the rest of the year, and his numbers really decreased a ton. And I think what happened is you started to see defenses get to know his preferences and what he liked to do, and because of that, I think we saw him start to diminish, and that's my worry for him this year is, can he get past those things? Can he get past those initial tendencies that defenses may already know and move forward? And that scares me a little
bit. I gotta stop you right there because, you know, I have Ryan Fitzpatrick's game log here in front of me, and I got to say, you know, I'm taking a look at his last 5 games of the year. He played against Pittsburgh. Okay, the Steelers, a very good defense. He threw for 265 yards, a touchdown and an interception.
And Buffalo should have won that game if Stevie Johnson doesn't drop that pass at the end.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And then the next
and here's the other thing. Now, Stevie Johnson has got God mad at him. How good can he do this year?
I don't know about that. You know, but just looking at the, you know,
you don't remember
a couple
that tweet he
games.
Sent out?
Well,
yeah,
he
freaked out. He freaked out on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, but what is that? Yeah, he also tweeted a picture of his privates. But what does that got to do with playing football games? You
yeah,
know,
what's
I
that
also
joke,
gotta
Rick?
Say, you know, I also got to say, you were on the Ryan Fitzpatrick fan club president and also a client over here. You know,
well,
you're
mentioning his games. The next game's at the Vikings. He threw for 158
right.
yards and one touchdown. The next
well,
game against the
game,
Browns,
and,
he threw
okay,
for 142
wait,
yards and a touchdown. Out of his last eight games, he only had multiple touchdowns twice.
Pez, I'm trying to talk logic with you. In Minnesota,
yeah,
they were
logic.
Losing.
You know that.
They were losing by four touchdowns against Minnesota. The next week, they came back and beat Cleveland. The next week after that, he throws for 223 and two touchdowns against Miami. New England, they lost 34-3, but he still threw 251 yards. Yeah, he had three interceptions, but when you're down five touchdowns, everybody knows you're passing. You got to try to make things happen.
But that's
you
your big argument for him to bust out is that he's going to be playing from behind, and everybody's going to know he's going to be passing.
Yeah, but
that's
going to equate to big numbers, though.
It doesn't work because in the first half of the season, when you said he enjoyed his biggest success, those were games they were getting destroyed, and he had his best games.
But I'm just pointing out to you the illogic in your point. You're saying that, you know, he didn't do good in that game because they knew he was going to be passing, but you're saying he's going to break out because he's going to be passing.
No, I'm saying he's going to break out because he's a year under his belt. He's a year better. Stevie Johnson's a year better. The Chan Gailey's offense is a year older. And the team is going to – I mean, they can't be worse than they were last year. But what
and
I'm saying is –
And again, I'll point out another thing. Go look at Stevie Johnson's numbers over those last five or six games. They weren't very good, at all very good. actually, they were really bad. And if you were counting on him to, you know, to carry you towards those playoffs, he wasn't doing it for you.
We'll talk about him when we get to wide receivers. But obviously, you're not big on Fitzpatrick. You're not big on the Bills. Who else aren't you so high on at the quarterback position?
Not really a ton, but I'm going to go with Cam Newton. I just don't know if he's got it in him to put in the time and effort he's going to need to become a viable NFL quarterback. I just really not there with guys that call themselves their own name.
Yeah, I want to touch Cam Newton with a 10-yard pole. I think we all agree on that. All right, Rev, now that Taz has officially bashed our fantasy bust-out quarterback, who are some of the guys that you are not going to touch?
Well, I don't think I'm breaking any news here by bringing up the name of Chad Henne. Here's a guy that I wouldn't even pick pick in the 16th or 17th round. I mean, the guy just makes – one bad decision after the other. Just doesn't have the instincts to play the quarterback position. And it's a guy who's not very athletic, doesn't make plays out of the pocket, and you got to be able to move. You got to be able to throw on the move and throw outside of the pocket today in the NFL to be successful, and I don't think he ever will be. The other guy that I'm going to avoid like the plague is Matt Cassel. I mean, here's a guy that surprised a lot of people, putting up some decent numbers for most of the season. But what did he do during the months of December and January? His completion percentage was a paltry 52.4%. To me, he's a guy that if the protection isn't there for him, he just doesn't make enough plays. I can now count on him, especially in the big games. I think he's a guy that, you know, you take him, he'll give you some good performances, you know, during the early and mid part of the season. But later on in the year, I just do not trust this guy. And with Charlie Weiss not there, without his protection schemes, I don't think Matt Cassel is going to come near to having that same type of season he had in 2010.
Chaz, are you a Matt Cassel believer or retriever?
Well, you know, Ralph is going to hate me for this, but I totally 100% agree with him. I've never been a Castle fan, ever. He's a one-look-and-go type of quarterback. You know, he had a good year last year, but at the same time, they had a pretty damn easy schedule. They don't have the likes of that again this year. I'm just not buying into it. I'm not sure he does it again.
All right, so you guys don't like the addition of Jonathan Baldwin. You got Dexter McCluster coming back from injury.
Well, what do you expect out of Baldwin in his first year? I mean, the guy is a raw.
Well,
he was a raw receiver coming into the draft.
Oh, they
used
a first
round
pick on him.
Yeah, I know he's a first round pick.
Which was kind of a joke in and of itself that they used
a first round
pick.
I agree. I think they reached for
that second round grades.
I agree with you. I'm just saying they did.
And here's a guy who had issues catching the football, running routes. I mean, yeah, he's big, but being big doesn't guarantee you anything in the NFL.
All right, well, you know, let's also say, you know, Denver has a weak secondary. Oakland lost Asamoah. Their secondary is not going to be as good. And the Chargers are really not a great secondary. So, you know, there's eight matchups for Matt Castle to kind of abuse the NFC West where, you know, none of those defenses are really that great.
Yeah, look, I'm not doubting the fact that Castle's not going to have some good games. He will, but I just can't count on him when I really need him, you know, during those December games or you know, early January games. I'm just not going to trust him. And as Taz said, he's not going to have that same schedule he had. Actually, if I was the Kansas City Chiefs going into free agency, I would love to get my hands on a guy like Steve Breston, a guy that's already played underneath Haley in Arizona, and I think he would help a guy like Dwayne Bowe tremendously instead of depending too much on a rookie like Jonathan Baldwin.
Yeah.
Well,
my biggest problem
with that, Ralph, is the fact of Castle is pretty much a one-look quarterback. I mean, it's like he doesn't really go through a good progression route with his wide receivers at all, and I have trouble believing he's even going to make use of a number two wide receiver.
Interesting. I think Castle's an okay backup in a deep league if you play your matchups right. Bye week filling, you know, if you play your matchups right, you can get some production out of Matt Castle. Now, you know, nobody mentioned the one guy that I'm not touching, and those of you who have listened to the show in the past might know where I'm going, but I would rather pick my nose before I pick this guy on my fantasy football team, and that's none other than Tony Romo. This guy's a banana, and I don't think he's going to make it through the whole season as the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback. We saw it last year. John Kitna was the better player. The team rallied around him. It's no coincidence that some of his receivers came out during the offseason and said, hey, maybe Kitna should be the starter, and I think there's some truth to it. And not only that, Tony Romo does nothing but lose. He's a loser, and if you pick him for your fantasy football team, you will also lose.
Wow, tell us how you really feel.
I'm not as
worried about Romo as you are. I do love his number one, number two receiver, and then, of course, Whitney, tight end. So he's got a ton of weapons. I'm a little worried about how he uses Felix Jones because the one thing I really liked last year was that Felix Jones increased back to got up to 48 receptions, which was huge. I mean, I was worried that they wouldn't use him in the passing game, but that was more, you know, Kitna checking down than anything else, and I'm worried that Romo won't do that as much. I think he hurts Felix Jones. I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I've done, 120 now draft master drafts, and I'm pretty sure I don't have him on any one of my teams. He's going way too early for me, and with the depth at quarterback this year, I just don't see the reason to take that chance.
Yeah, I'm good for about one Tony Romo rant a year at a minimum, and so there it was. I got it off my chest nice
and
early.
No, but I think he hits the nail on the head there. If he falls on your lap in the ninth or tenth round, you know, maybe you take him. But, again, I'm not going to go out of my way to put Tony Romo at the head of my fantasy squad.
And, you know, the one other guy I do want to mention real quick here is David Garrard. I wouldn't touch this guy because from all indications, it sounds like the team really wants to play Blaine Gabbert. They kind of know he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. But I believe this is going to be a bad football team. I think they should have got rid of Jack Del Rio. It's going to be a year too late by the time they fire him. I think this, you know, whole organization needs to be turned upside down, inside out. I think they'll probably realize it about halfway through the season after the season's loss. And I think you'll see Blaine Gabbert in there sooner rather than later, which makes David Garrard pretty much useless in terms of your fantasy football team.
Yeah, I think David Garrard is the definition of average. You know, that's all he is, you know. I mean, he's a bi-week filler, nothing more, nothing less.
Oh, I got to take exception to that. Hold on. Hold on. You're so hyping Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're saying Garrard is so bad. Garrard easily finished above him last year. I mean, he had pretty decent numbers.
But wait a second. Fitzpatrick
didn't even play an entire season. True number one wide receiver.
Yeah, but Fitzpatrick didn't play a whole entire season. Don't forget, they started the year with Trent Edwards as their starting quarterback.
Right. I'm not going by total fantasy points. I was kind of alluding to points per game. Okay, so sorry, I didn't make that clear. He beat him in points per game. But the fact of the matter is, Garrard really didn't have a wide receiver one to throw to all year.
And now they got rid of Mike Sims-Walker. So don't you agree, Tazzo, this is going to be a pretty bad team and a pretty bad
offense? Well, it
is,
and that's what's crazy. I do agree with you. I think by hook or by crook, they're going to get Blaine Gabbert in as a starter sooner rather than later. And I think it's going to be a mistake on many counts. I don't think Gabbert's really ready yet to take the reins. I think you're going to end up hurting him if you put him on the field too early. You know, I think Garrard is better than they give him credit for. It's a tough situation.
He's not going to win you any leagues. He's an average guy. I mean, I wouldn't want to start him more than once or twice during the season is all I'm saying.
All right, guys. Fantasy Football Insiders, Rick Saratella, Reverend Ralph Mancini, Fantasy Taz. Before we move on to the running back, let's just quickly dissect some of this quarterback free agents and the scenarios surrounding some of these guys that could be on the move. Of course, you know the obvious suspects, but I'll start it off with Taz. And, you know, who are some of the free agent quarterbacks or possible other quarterbacks such as Kevin Cobb that you're monitoring?
Really, McNabb. I'd like to see where McNabb goes. I think if he lands in the right situation, you know, especially someplace like Arizona where he's got Larry Fitzgerald to throw to, I think that's really going to push him up in my eyes. I'm still not 100% sold on Kevin Cobb. I know Joe Everett's in the chat room now, and he's a huge Kevin Cobb guy. But I'm just not sold on him yet. We just haven't seen enough to see if he'll be a consistent fantasy producer. So that scares me a little. Orton is absolutely the other one. I'm crazy to see what happens. You know, if Denver's not going to use him to his potential, I hope they do let him go somewhere else, because I really would like to see him start somewhere else again. I think he's definitely one of the most undervalued quarterbacks out there, and there's a lot of guys I would start him over.
All right. No mention there of Vince Young, Ralph. There's some talk. You mentioned Henning was a guy that you're going to avoid. Any chance the Dolphins or Redskins bring in a guy like Vince Young?
Well, I'm not a big Vince Young fan, but I think I'd rather have Vince Young as my quarterback over Chad Henning. Look, I mean, he's done some good things. He's won some games with Tennessee in his time there. Again, long term, you're not going to go anywhere with Vince Young. But I think Miami's in a tough situation right now. And if they could bring in a Vince Young, I think that would improve their quarterback play even slightly. But I think, you know, you have some other guys out there. One guy we didn't bring up was Matt Hasselbeck. And, you know, he's a guy that, again, I've never been a big Matt Hasselbeck fan, but when you compare him to a lot of these other unproven quarterbacks out there, you know that the guy has a clue, and especially if you put him out there in a West Coast system, the guy can be productive. The question with him is, how long is he going to do it for? He's an extremely fragile guy. You can't count on him for, you know, beyond 8 to 10, maybe 12 games, if that. And, you know, but I think that if you're in a situation where, especially if you have a rookie quarterback and you need somebody kind of like, you know, to bring in as a mentor, I think Matt Hasselbeck is the perfect type of quarterback to do that. And then, you know, the other question mark here is, what does Cincinnati do with Carson Palmer? You know, again, Carson Palmer is not a superstar anymore, not nearly the quarterback he was 5 years ago, but he is a lot better than a lot of these other tomato cans that are out there right now. And so does Cincinnati finally relent and trade this guy? I'll tell you something. If Miami could pick up Carson Palmer, That would be a huge upgrade over what they have right now in Chad Henne.
And I know
now,
another
wait,
guy.
I got to throw a couple of points at you about Hasselbeck. I agree. I think he'd be a good mentor for a young quarterback, but it would really be hard for me to put any faith in him if I really want my team to win. You're looking at a guy who, in the last three years, he started 35 games, 14 in each of the last two. He's only thrown. He threw 17 touchdowns in the best season, 2009, 3,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Last year, he only threw 12 touchdowns. And I just don't know if he's got it in him to ever be a viable starting quarterback if a team is looking to win.
Well, look, I can't disagree with that. I've never been a big Matt Hasselbeck fan. All I'm telling you is I think I'd rather have Matt Hasselbeck over a guy like a Vince Young or a Rex Grossman.
Well, I won't argue Rex Grossman. I don't think there's an argument in the world for Rex Grossman. Vince Young, I think he's talented. He's just a bit of a head case. He needs to turn off all those other voices in
there. And to me, Vince Young is not a pocket passer. To me, he's a freelancer, a guy that makes plays with his legs. And I think, you know, doing that alone only takes you so far in the NFL. I think he's a guy that if you expect him to play 16 games with that style of play, he's eventually going to get hurt or he's going to get exposed.
Well, let me bring it back around to Carson Palmer for a second because one of the side stories that got buried with the whole lockout labor negotiations is this whole salary cap floor for each team. So with the salary cap floor, the Bengals may now actually be forced to deal Carson Palmer, and I think one guy that's monitoring that situation is up in Seattle, our good buddy Pete Carroll. So, I could see maybe Palmer to the Seahawks. I could see Cobb going to the Cardinals from what we hear. That sounds like a done deal. Hasselbeck sounds like to the Titans. Donovan McNabb, maybe he ends up in Minnesota, who knows. But before we do move on to running backs, I'm just going to give you two guys. They're not free agents, but if you are in a dynasty league, you may want to pick these guys up and stash them on your bench. One day down the line, they might be a starter, and that's Brian Hoyer and Matt Flynn. These guys are gaining a lot of interest from around the league. The Patriots drafted Ryan Mallett. If Ryan Mallett can be a good camper and do what Tom Brady says, Brian Hoyer could get dealt. Matt Flynn could get dealt. The Packers were dangling him for a second-round pick before the lockout. I think, people lose track of that. So, hey, they might not start this year, but if you're in a dynasty league and you can pick these guys up, sometimes quarterbacks are hard to come by. So there you have it. This is the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Reverend Ralph Mancini, Fantasy Taz, Jim Day is joining us, and I want to tell you real quick about his two new websites, GoAheadSport.com. You got fantasy football rankings, mock drafts for 2011, NFL scores. It's all here presented visually so you can leap to the top of your fantasy football league. And if you know Fantasy Taz, then you know this guy does it. He's done it, and he does it, and he'll do it again. 64 leagues last year. We're shooting for 128 this year. Also, we have the Twitter FantasyFootball.com, the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable Show, complete Twitter list, post tagged by player and by team, also searchable by your player and team. Check that out, TwitterFantasyFootball.com. And, of course, the Fantasy Football Draft Advisor is a draft app for the iPod and soon-to-be Droid. If you're into technology, if you're into smartphones, if you're always attached, connected to the hip, you want to get the Fantasy Football Draft Advisor iApp for your iPod, for your Droid. You got cheat sheets, everything you need for your draft. You can be at your draft. You can download this iApp. You can have your cheat sheet right on your phone and blow away the competition.
I love everything you just said except the part about the cheat sheet, because our app isn't really a cheat sheet, because what it does is it tells you the best position to draft at any given time and point in your draft depending on your team needs and every other team needs all at the same time.
So it's better than a cheat sheet.
Absolutely. It's constantly evolving as you go through your draft, just like you would in real life.
And that's the Fantasy Football Draft Advisor for your iPod, soon-to-be Droid. Technology, baby. You got to get on it or you get left in the dust. And, of course, if you don't log on to NFLDraftBible.com, then you're definitely losing out because we keep it going nonstop. The good Reverend Ralph Mancini here just recently posted a breakdown of some of the NFL free agents, where they could be landing, the teams that are looking at what positions. We're going to be breaking down undrafted rookie free agents as well as NFL free agents. Ralph is also doing a bunch of scouting reports on the NFL Draft Bible, some FCS watch, and we're getting into the season. So, you know, college football, NFL, both coming soon. Make sure you check out the NFLDraftBible.com, GoAheadSport.com, and Twitter, FantasyFootball.com. All right, guys. Let's get back to the fantasy football talk, and we're going to move on to running backs now. And, you know, one of the big discussions or one of the big questions that I'm always getting asked now, especially since you're, you know, getting a lot of talk about, hey, my fantasy football league is coming up, you know, who is your top fantasy football running back? And not only that, people want to know, hey, who's your top five? Who's your top five running backs? And you know what? I've talked to a lot of people about this. And, you know, for the most part, you get about two or three guys that are always in there, and then there's always two or three guys that people have different. So we're going to get these guys' opinions. We're going to start it off with the Reverend Ralph Mancini, Ralph, and we're going to go PPR leagues here. Give me your top five fantasy football running backs for 2011.
Well, the free agents that I like here, I want to start off with D'Angelo Williams, who is my no-doubter here at the first spot. You talk about a guy that could hurt you inside, outside, has the ability to make you miss, can catch the ball out of the backfield, a big play type of back. I love D'Angelo Williams, and I'll tell you something. If he goes to the Denver Broncos, who knows, man? Maybe he could be that guy that could actually lead that team to the top of that division. Ahmad Bradshaw is another guy that I like, that I love. One of the toughest running backs, pound for pound, in the league, if not the toughest. This guy is hard to bring down. Plus, he's got the speed, the quickness, and the lateral agility that you're looking for in a running back. My number three guy is Darren Sproles. He's one of those little guys that he's so small when he's running behind a big offensive line. By the time you see him or lay a finger on him, he's already 10 yards down the field. I think it could help a lot of teams out there, including the St. Louis Rams, if they pair him up with Steven Jackson. I think he will complement him tremendously there. And then my number four guy is Joseph Agai. You know, a guy who is not that exciting, a guy that doesn't put up big yards per carry averages year in and year out. But what he does is he does all the little things for you. He's good at picking up the blitz. He's a good blocker. He catches the ball out of the backfield. And he's pretty good along the goal line. He has scored quite a few touchdowns over the past few years for the Indianapolis Colts. And then finally, my number four guy is Cedric Benson for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, not the most exciting runner out there, more of a between-the-tackles type of thumper. But when he's motivated, when he has his head screwed on straight, a guy that could be very productive, doesn't catch too – he's not a big factor at catching the ball out of the backfield – but a guy who has got some tremendous talent, and he's still young. He's only about 28, 29 years old. So those are my top five guys there, D'Angelo, Ahmad Bradshaw, Darren Sproles, Joseph Agai, and Cedric Benson.
Well, you really threw me for a loop there since we were talking about top five PPR running backs.
That's all right. We'll bring it back around and come full circle. The Reverend blessed us with his – he got so excited about free agency and the announcement of the lockout.
Oh, you meant
listed.
Overall.
You
I'm sorry. Okay, I misunderstood.
No worries,
guys.
It's okay.
When you came out with D'Angelo Williams number one, my hair just, like, jumped up.
That's all right.
Like,
we'll
wow,
bring it back around
ballsy.
Again. Rev was talking free agent running backs. You know what? We'll save the top five running backs for the end of the running back segment. We'll go backwards here. Let's start it off with the free agent running backs, Taz, if you don't mind. D'Angelo Williams was the Reverend top guy. A couple guys in the mix there. Ahmad Bradshaw, I think, will re-sign with the Giants. Who are some of the free agent running backs that you're looking at?
Well, Ahmad Bradshaw is my number one, you know, probably because I am a Giants fan, and I definitely think we need to get him back in, so hopefully we do. D'Angelo Williams, definitely right there in that mix. You know, although going back and look at his numbers, he's really only had one really good year, but for some reason we just think him to be that guy that's just produced year after year, and he really hasn't. But we know he's talented. For me, number three is Ronnie Brown, actually. I'd love to see where he goes, because I still don't think he's done. I'd love to see him land somewhere where he gets a chance. My number four is Jason Snelling. I really think I actually just wrote a piece about this in the Chain Reaction free agency series where I think he ends up going to Tampa Bay because I think they need that guy to be that hands-on receiver that could also take on a full load if something happens to LeGarrette Blount. And I think Snelling would be a perfect fit. And we actually had Charlie Campbell on from the Pewter Report the other night, and he kind of seems to think the same thing. And then number five is Darren Sproles. I think he's a spark plug, and I think if somebody can get him and use him right, I think he's a guy that puts up decent fantasy points.
Boy, LeGarrette Blount and Jason Snelling, I'm getting flashbacks of Christian Okoye and Barry Words.
Wow, that would be a nice backfield, though.
Power backfield, and, you know, I'll throw another power running back, and Snelling was actually on my list, a guy that I really like. I think his production could definitely increase on a new team. How about LaRon McClain? I know he wants to come back to the Ravens, but only if it's in an increased role. And, you know, I don't understand why this guy didn't get more carries in Baltimore because he's just a beast between the tackles. I really believe he could be an effective short yardage runner and a very good goal line carrier for somebody in the NFL. The LaRon McClain, one guy. And the other guy that nobody mentioned, I'm just going to throw it out there because nobody said his name, but is it time to scrap the Cadillac?
Well, he's a free agent. He's probably going to be picked up by somebody else. And, you know, again, he's a guy like Bush who has some talent. You just got to hope he stays healthy. And hard to count on those guys.
All right, we've got a guy in the chat room, Big Joe, saying no love for Michael Bush.
Well, I don't think Michael Bush is going to be an unrestricted free agent. I think there was a ruling that came down that said that the Oakland Raiders are going to be able to keep him as a restricted free agent, so I don't think he's going to be unrestricted.
Right, he's only got 3 years of service. That's what they're talking about. So because of that, he won't fall under the 4 years of service thing, so he won't be a free agent.
Talking running backs with the Reverend Ralph Mancini, Jim Day, Fantasy Taz, and I am Rick Saratella. Let's talk about some running backs to avoid, and we'll start this one off with Taz.
Well, I'm going to go number one for me is Sean Green. Not a big believer in Sean Green. You know, lost his job last year to LaDainian Tomlinson when it was really his to lose, and I just don't think he ever got it back. He seems to be a little too tentative. He's not picking up the blitzing schemes too well. Just a lot of little things. He's definitely not a pass catcher. I think all of these things help hurt him, and I think the team showed that by going out and drafting Bilal Powell, who I think is ultimately going to push Sean Green out of the way and take his job. That's my number one. Number two is Knowshon Moreno. I mean, it's pretty evident now. It's obvious that in Denver they don't look at him as a number one. We've heard it from just too many sources, all good sources close to the team that have strong, you know, ties of being able to be counted on. So it's got to be true at this point in my mind. So they're going to go out and get somebody to be that number one guy and make him a third down back. Now, at the same time, it might keep Moreno healthy. It might actually lead to a little better year for him and, you know, give him chances. But at the same time, where he's being drafted now is a little too high for me. Number three is Marshawn Lynch. You know, I know he had, you know, a couple of 1,000-yard seasons early in his career. He's had a lot of garbage since then. And then he had one brilliant run against a New Orleans defense that played like, the Carolina Panthers defense in that one game. And all of a sudden, everybody's all over this guy, and he's going to be the next star this year. You know, I'm not buying it. I can't buy it because every time he opens his mouth, I get blinded, and I just can't do it. Number four for me is Roy Helu. I know everybody's really hot on this guy in Washington, and, oh, Shanahan does wonders with these guys, and I'm just not buying it. I don't think he's going to hold up for a whole season anyway with his running style. I just, at the very most you're going to get out of him is he's going to be a one-year wonder, and then they're going to move on. And then the last one for me is C.J. Spiller, another guy I think the team is just very unhappy with. Doesn't seem to be able to pick up the offense enough to really become that huge productive guy. You got a 31-year-old running back that keeps pushing him off. And then they go out and sign Johnny White, another running back that I think is pretty good and very intelligent in football. And I think that makes a big statement on its own right there. I think they wanted a football knowledge guy in the backfield, and I think they got it with Johnny White.
Very interesting on your take with C.J. Spiller because, you know, you make a good point. Maybe the team is not happy with this production. Rev, let me pose it another way. Is it just a matter of the Buffalo Bills coaching staff not knowing how to use him? I mean, here's a guy who had, 26 plays of over 50 yards and some crazy stat like that. What's your take on C.J. Spiller? Are you going to also avoid him?
I mean, look, I won't avoid him if he falls real low in the draft. I just think that C.J. Spiller, maybe the reason why they're bringing in a guy like Johnny White is because they realize that C.J. Spiller is not that type of between-the-tackles type of punishing runner that maybe a lot of people thought he might end up being in the NFL. You know, maybe they realize that he's more Reggie Bush than he is Deuce McAllister, you know, and so at that point, then you do need a guy like Fred Jackson. You do need a guy like Johnny White to do a lot of dirty work. And you use C.J. Spiller as the pass catcher, as the guy in those perimeter runs, as your third down back, as a guy that returns kicks and all of that stuff, a guy that you line up wide and stuff like that. So to me, I think C.J. Spiller is more of a versatile type of Reggie Bush type of back.
Yeah, well, I know a couple guys that I'm not going to be touching in no particular order. I think it's all safe to say we could stick a big fat fork in LaDainian Tomlinson. I just don't see much production coming out of him this year. I actually agree with Taz and think Bilal Powell will be the starter by the end of the season. Sean Green has always been hurt, even going back to his college days. I don't think Sean Green will ever get through a season staying healthy. MB3, I think his time is done in Dallas. Brandon Jacobs, this guy runs like a joke. I don't want to hear any more talk out of his trap about how he's going to run like a man and he's so tough because he runs like a girl and he runs like Ron Dane.
Let me just make sure I'm talking. You're talking about Brandon Jacobs?
I'm talking about Brandon Jacobs of the New York
Giants,
the pity patter guy
who can't
put his head down and hit the hole
hard.
He tried
to listen to the wrong people about how he should run. And he learned that was just a mistake. What?
Oh, come on, man. He said he was going to run tough, and he kept pity-pattering. He thinks he's a finesse running back.
That's what they told him to do last year. They wanted him to be that. So that's what they tried to make him, and he's absolutely not that. I bet you we absolutely see Brandon Jacobs get back to his running style he had when he come back this year. And
I think he's a guy
I actually love this year because of where you can get him in a draft.
I think the guy's a bum. What do you think, Rev?
Well, you know, again, if you get him as a low-round guy, I might put him on my team. But, again, he's not a guy I can rely on. You know, he's a guy that they give him the ball the first few times, he fumbles the ball, and then they bench him for the rest of the game. You know, and it'll give you a complete zero. He's a totally unreliable type of guy. He can give you one or two good weeks, but you got to get lucky with that type of guy. And I'd rather not have him than have him on my team. But one guy we didn't bring up, guys, what do you guys think about Jonathan Stewart? You know, if D'Angelo Williams gets signed by Denver or any other team out there, Jonathan Stewart's going to be that number one feature guy, and I don't know if I'd be comfortable with him on my fantasy team as my number two or my number one back, simply because this guy can't stay healthy. There's a reason why he was known as Turf Toe Johnny coming out of college, a guy that has a lot of ankle and foot problems. He's a guy I cannot rely on for a 16-game season.
Not reliable, but a boom or bust guy. I do think D'Angelo Williams leaves. I think Jonathan Stewart could get double-digit touchdowns. I want to keep it moving real quick. Just two more guys that I'm not touching. Go ahead, Taz.
I just real quick, I just had to confirm something. Real fast, just to throw at you, Brandon Jacobs, you know, lousy numbers from last year, 823 yards, 9 touchdowns on 147 carries. That means he averaged almost 5.6 yards per run. You know, not so freaking bad if you're talking about a running back 4 or 5 in deeper leagues.
Who is this, Jacobs?
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs.
I don't believe he averaged over 5 yards a carry last year.
He did.
There's
he
no
had
way.
I'm looking at it. 147 carries. He had 823 yards. My calculator says 5.5986394557823 yards per carry.
All right. Well, you know what? I actually watched Brandon Jacobs play, and I'm not going to go by what the piece of paper says. If you watch him play, he stinks.
I watch him play. I'm a freaking Giants fan. I watch every single game. And, you know,
all right.
He was trying to run the way a team wanted him to run when that wasn't his style. He's come to the conclusion that wasn't right for him. He's going to be back. And you know what? Let's pick a middle-of-the-road running back you like, and let's make some kind of bet. Let's stick our necks out. That's what we do here.
Okay, well, I don't recall the Giants telling Brandon Jacobs to become a finesse running back. I could be wrong. But,
no, it was Tiki Barber. It wasn't the Giants. He listened to that idiot Barber.
Let's face it. Brandon Jacobs, he's a nice number 5 or number 4 back. He's just not a guy you can rely on. That's the bottom line with Brandon Jacobs.
I didn't say you could rely on him, but I'm saying if I can get him as my number 4 or definitely my number 5 running back, I think
he presents a
lot of great value. And I'll tell you another reason is because Bradshaw does have a tendency to take some injuries. Plus, he's a free agent. What if he walks out and they don't bring in anybody else to take his place? All of a sudden, you're looking at Brandon Jacobs as a starter on the
Darrell Scott. Darrell Scott, Danny Ware, they got plenty of running backs there. I think they're better than Brandon Jacobs. And you'll see this year when Brandon Jacobs collapses like a big baby motor mouth. If he ran the football as good as he ran his mouth, he'd be in the Pro Bowl. But I want to move on from Brandon Jacobs. I'm going to give you my last two guys that I'm going to avoid. One of them is Beanie Wells. He's done. Stick a fork in that banana. And the other guy is Steven Jackson. This guy's a workhorse that has been worn down, and I'm not taking a chance with Steven Jackson this year. There's just too much wear and tear on the tires. I know the Rams are dying to produce a complimentary back in St. Louis. I've gotten burnt the last couple years with Steven Jackson, and I just don't like my toast that crispy. we're talking running backs here with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini and the Fantasy Taz, Rick Saratella, having some fun, heated debate here as we go through the positions and getting you ready for your fantasy football draft here in July. A little less than a week away from a supposed NFL lift the lockout announcement. But, guys, we just talked about running backs to avoid. Which running backs do you have busting out like Rick James, Ralph?
Well, you know, a guy who disappointed me and a lot of other fantasy managers is Ryan Matthews, a guy that had a hard time staying healthy last year. And even when he was healthy, wasn't all that productive, not until the very end anyway. But here's a guy who's got too much talent not to produce. He isn't a great offense playing with a great quarterback in an offense that puts up a lot of points. I think that Ryan Matthews, if he can get over his ankle and foot issues and whatever other physical ailments that he has, I think he's a guy that can bust out in his second year. I think that Michael LeSure is another guy that I'll be looking to as a guy that could have a very, very productive rookie season. He's got all the parts around him to succeed. And, you know, let's face it, he's going to be scoring a lot of those touchdowns, a lot of those 1 yard and 2 yard touchdowns. I think, you know, the Detroit Lions realize how fragile Jahvid Best is, and there's no way that Best is going to get the ball in those types of situations. So Michael LeSure, I say mark him down for anywhere between 8 to 9, maybe even 10 touchdowns. Then the other guy that I like here is another rookie, DeLon Carter, who's playing for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, we don't know whether or not Joseph Addai is going to re-sign with the Colts or not, but even if he does, even with Addai as that number one guy, the Colts have ranked 29th, 32nd, and 31st in rushing. And then even if a guy does stick with the team, the guy's missed 12 games over the past 3 years. So I think the Colts know that they need another weapon out there in that backfield. And Donald Brown hasn't been the answer so far. I mean, if anybody looks like the next Ron Dane, I think it's Donald Brown. So I think that DeLon Carter, he's there for a reason, and that's because they need that workhorse between the tackles grinder out there that's going to be able to punch the ball in tough situations. And I think that DeLon Carter might be looking at quite a few carries in his rookie season.
Interesting take. Who do you got there for us, Taz, busting out this year like Rick James?
Well, I'm going to go with the other side of that Mikel LeSure guy, and I'm going back to Javid Best. I think we're going to see a guy that's going to jump into top 10, maybe even better territory this year. I really like this kid. I love the tenacity he showed by going out and playing each and every week, even though he had two bad toes, you know, one on each foot. I mean, that's just amazing. Try and think about that. Stub toes
are pain in the neck. Doesn't he always have two bad toes? I mean...
Well, we're going to find out this year, Rick, and I don't believe so. I think this kid is going to be one of the better running backs we're looking at going forward. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. LeSure is definitely going to get his chances, and he's definitely going to become a TV vulture. I'm not arguing that at all. But I think Javid Best is going to do his own damage, even if it's not from within the 1 or 2 yard line. So I think he's going to have an excellent season. My number two is going to be James Starks in Green Bay. You know, I know everybody's counting on Grant to come back and, you know, be that guy. But, you know, the team was never really happy with Grant anyway. He did the job, and he was better than anybody else they had. But he definitely didn't do enough of the things that they wanted him to do, and I think Starks can. So I'm really looking for Starks to take a big step forward. Number three is Mike Goodson in the so-called Carolina. Again, you know, he's going to be the number two behind Stewart. We saw how good he could do even when he was the main guy last year when Stewart got hurt. You know, we've always heard about Stewart's injury problems, so now he's going to be facing maybe even possibly more because he's going to be taking more touches, and I think he's going to get beat up a lot more. So I think we're going to see a lot of Goodson this year. He's a guy I really love targeting late in drafts. And then the next one for me is Bilal Powell. Again, I mentioned him before. I wouldn't be surprised at all by week six if he's the number one guy in this Jets offense. And I think behind that offensive line, he's going to be a steal for fantasy owners if they want to take the chance on him. So I really like him a ton this year. So those are my guys.
Interesting. You know, we steered everyone away from Javid Best last year, not because of the talent, but because of the injuries. This kid was hurt all the time in Cal. I just don't know if he has it in him. Also, I think I recently read a report somewhere where LeSure was expected to get 60% of the carries. I don't read too much into it now. Too early for all that.
Yep.
I think that Detroit running back situation, there's always going to be one of those guys injured. So I think if you draft one, you want to try to handcuff him and get the other, because I think it's going to be rare that they're both healthy at the same time.
Grant you that. I mean, there's definitely that you have to take into an account, and this is definitely one where I think a handcuff is definitely merited. But at the same time, you know, with Best, just look at, we said the same things about Darren McFadden. He's always hurt, he can't do it. And then look at the season he put out last year. He's an explosive back, and Best is along that same line.
There's a difference between McFadden and Javid Best. You know, McFadden didn't have any concussion issues, and that's something that Best had to deal with back in college. So that's another
back
thing that worries
college,
me about Javid Best.
You didn't hear anything about a concussion for him all last year.
No, I'm talking about his days in California, in college.
I hear you. You know what? But he played all last year. We didn't hear a single person mention concussion last year. And
well,
you know what? If
he
got through 1 year
and he didn't
have any problems, I'm not going to put it on him now.
But, Taz, he didn't play all last year, did he? I mean, the guy was always nicked up. You know,
but
he was on the field.
He was out there playing almost every game. I don't think – what did he miss, two games on the
season? All right, well, listen, hey, the guy definitely has breakaway ability. And if you're in a fantasy football league that gives rewards points for big play touchdowns, I mean, Javid Best can do it. But it is a risk-reward type of pick, and – you know, if he can stay healthy, he's definitely a bust-out player.
Well, you know, think about it this way. In PPR leagues, he was still, with all the injuries he had, he still ended up somewhere around, you know, 18, 19, 20th best running back last year.
He had almost 3.6 yards per carry average.
He had almost 60 receptions.
What was his yards per carry average? It was pretty low.
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. And I
3.6.
I agree with you. It wasn't
3.2,
good, but he was running
3.2.
on two bad freaking toes. Do you know how hard that is to turn on?
He did have 58 catches for nearly 500 receiving yards. So, you know, PPR league, got some added value there. Some guys that I'm going to throw out there just to keep stored in the memory bank, you know, especially if you're in a deep league. You know, we've been saying it for about 4 or 5 years now, the way that Adrian Peterson's violent running style is going to get him injured might not be a bad idea with the last pick to pluck a Toby Gerhart. If Peterson does get hurt this year, I think Gerhart can rumble, bumble, stumble, and he has underrated hands as well. So that's one guy I'm going to watch. Another guy that I'm going to roll the dice with, maybe as my number four running back, is Marshawn Lynch, an underachiever in past years, but I liked what he did at the end of the playoffs. Maybe even if I'm overhyping that one big run that he had, I just liked the way he was running. I haven't seen him run like that, and if he can continue to do that, I think maybe, just maybe, he can carry it over and have a solid year.
I'll tell you, the one great thing for him is that they went out and used their first two draft picks on offensive linemen. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this year. I just have my doubts about him, but getting that offensive line up and running would be a big boost for him.
Very good point. And then also, you know, we mentioned about MB3's days being outnumbered possibly in Dallas. He could be a casualty cut once the NFL resumes. And, you know, Rev, I know this is a guy that you like. Tashard Choice could all of a sudden be in line to be the Cowboys' number one tote rocker, whatever, carry the rock tote, whatever. Tashard Choice could be that guy.
Yeah, you know, look, maybe. I like what I saw out of Tashard Choice. I like what I've seen out of him the past few years. But they have so many backs there in Dallas, it's hard to count on one of them. And then they go out and they draft DeMarco Murray. And so, you know, at this point, it's like you're taking a gamble. I don't expect MB3 to be there much longer. I think once this lockout ends, they're going to get rid of him. But it's pretty much going to be a three-headed monster in Dallas. I mean, Tashard Choice, hey, maybe if you want to keep him at the end of your bench, he's a guy that, you know, maybe, you know, every once in a while, every 3 or 4 weeks can do something. But I have a hard time just counting on any of those Dallas backs.
Wow, thank
you,
Rev.
Very good point in the chat.
After Rick's point, I was going to stick a pencil in my ear, number one back in Dallas. Are you kidding me? Sorry.
Well, I think there's a very good point made in the chat room that, yes, he's in Jason Garrett's doghouse. But I think when you look at the talent, I think Cream always rises to the top. And I'll tell you right now, Felix Jones is not a number one type of running back that can carry the bulk. He's a 10 to 15 touches type of running back. And DeMarco Murray is an unknown commodity who, let's be honest, very talented high school number one recruit, didn't really live up to expectations in college. You're telling me he's a better football player than Tashard Choice right now? I don't think so.
You know what?
All right, guys.
We've been getting teased by Tashard Choice for 3 years now. Believe it when it happens.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just, hey, listen, I'm not saying Choice is a bust-out guy. I'm saying he's a guy you should keep your eye on, especially with injury-prone guys like Felix Jones and DeMarco Murray. That guy was always nicked up. Another guy that's always nicked up.
Right. No argument there.
You know, and the other guy that you should also store in the memory bank, should anything happen to Arian Foster, you know, we talk about these injury-prone running backs, and Arian Foster, for 4 straight years and his first year in the NFL, was nothing but injured. This guy was injured for 5 straight years. You know, if he turns out to be a one-year wonder, you know, I actually like Derek Ward more than Ben Tate, but the Texans used a second-round pick on Ben Tate last year. We've got to see how that knee goes. But it's time to move on to the top five. That's right, the top five running backs, as we mentioned, started to mention earlier. We're going to let the Rev have another whack at it now. PPR league, top five fantasy football running back. Lay it on us, Rev.
Okay, I'm going to go with Arian Foster as my number one guy. I think that the type of season that he's coming off of, he's a very young guy and a very good offense. I like the running scheme that they have out there. I think he is going to be the number one guy. I'm going to go with Jamaal Charles as my number two overall guy. You talked about a guy who who's probably the best running back in yards after contact, a guy, one of the fastest guy in the league. And the other thing about Jamaal Charles is they've already came out and said that they're going to use him a lot more often this year as opposed to last year, which means that Thomas Jones is going to have a diminished role in Kansas City. So I look for big yards out of Mr. Jamaal Charles and lots of fantasy points. My number three guy is Adrian Peterson. Now, to me, he's probably the most talented guy in the league in terms of running backs, but, you know, the way he runs, he's a violent guy, a violent runner. You know, you always have to worry about him getting mixed up, I think more so than a lot of other running backs out there. So he's my number three guy. My number four guy is Chris Johnson. Again, a very talented running back, but a guy who's on a bad team, and I just don't like his supporting cast or surrounding cast of characters that he's playing with. And then my number five guy is LeSean McCoy. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's playing with Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, a wide-open offense that's going to be, if they keep all those guys healthy, I don't see how you're going to stop LeSean McCoy, who is a multifaceted, versatile running back. He can beat you catching the ball, running the ball. You talk about speed, you talk about power. He's going to score you a ton of touchdowns. So I think LeSean McCoy is going to be the number five guy.
Wow, and no mention of Ray Rice.
Well, he's probably number six or number seven, but I'll put McCoy ahead of Rice.
Okay, very interesting. I like Deion Lewis there, and Philly might eat into some of those carries. LeSean McCoy put on about 15, 20 pounds. We'll see how that works out for him. Kaz, hit us with your top five fantasy football running backs.
Okay, of course, I'm going to start with Arian Foster for all the same reasons. I just love this kid. I think he's in the perfect situation for his running style, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Number two for me is going to be LeSean McCoy. I just think that offense is just going to keep rolling. They've got too many playmakers, and I just love what he does there, and the fact that he just catches a ton of passes in PPR is just huge. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're looking at a guy who caught almost 80 balls last year for 600 yards as a receiver and still ran for 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns, you know, from behind center. So I really like him a ton. I have Charles number three, but I got to tell you, I'm a little worried about Charles if they do, in fact, give him more touches because that's always been the knock on him. And the reason why they did it last year the way they did it was so that he would be fresh at the end of the season. So that worries me a little bit, but I still have him there. Number four for me is Ray Rice. I just think he's going to get a much bigger piece of the pie this year, and I really like what he's going to do. I think he's going to get a lot more touchdowns, and that's going to vault him up. And then number five for me is Chris Johnson.
All right.
No, Adrian Peterson.
No, he's number six.
Okay, interesting.
Very interesting. And also, you know, I'm a believer, maybe you guys aren't, and I don't know where he is in my top five, but I know he's in my top five. That's Peyton Hillis. And, you know, this guy caught 60-plus balls last year. Cleveland does not have much of a passing game. You can say, hey, well, that means they're going to stack the front. I don't think Peyton Hillis really cares because he'll run right through them anyway. And you know what? Listen, he might not wow you. He might not be spectacular. But I think this guy is going to put up some monster, big-time fantasy football numbers, and I think he will be a top-five producing fantasy football running back this year. I like Peyton Hillis. He's not getting the love he deserves. And you know what that means? You might be able to nab him in the end of the first, early second round. It's going to be a steal.
I agree with you, totally. I got him at seven. Everybody's looking for him to have less numbers than next year. Last year. I think he actually increases his numbers from last year.
Yeah, and, you know, I could be wrong, but I think he only started, like, 14 games last year. So, you know, pretty impressive numbers from Peyton Hillis last year. I really like what he brings to the table. I think people might be sleeping on him. and I think you're going to get more value there with Hillis at number 12 than, say, another guy like Steven Jackson at number 9. All right, so that does it for the running back positions. We broke it down for you, quarterbacks, running backs. We got about 45 minutes left to go. We're going to touch on wide receivers and tight ends, talk about some rookies here. Very quickly, I want to tell you about GoAheadScore.com. We got fantasy football rankings, mock drafts, NFL scores. It's very visually user-friendly, everything you need to go, click of a button. There you can get the fantasy football draft advisor. Say goodbye to the cheat sheets, as Chaz says, and this draft app is or iApp is going to be for your iPhone, coming out for your Droid. So this is definitely a great tool for your fantasy football draft, the Fantasy Football Draft Advisor. And make sure you check out the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable Show as well as TwitterFantasyFootball.com. Make sure you check out the Fantasy Football Insider Show right here each and every week during the football season. And, of course, you already know you can log on to NFLDraftBible.com. I am Rick Saratello. I'm joined by the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, Fantasy Taz. And we are now going to dive into the wide receivers, fellas. And we talked about our top five fantasy running backs. Let's talk about our top five fantasy wide receivers, which I got to say, in recent years, there's been a lot of shifting and maneuverability here. You know, just not so long ago, you had guys like Randy Moss, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, the cream of the crop. It seems to be shifting towards some younger guys, maybe some older guys getting inched out of that top five. We're going to talk it over with the Tasmanian Fantasy Football Taz. Lay it on us.
Okay, number one is Roddy White for me. I'm not worried about Julio Jones at all, even though some are. Andre Johnson is number two. Calvin Johnson is number three. Akeem Nix is number four. And Reggie Wayne is number five.
All right, nice, short, sweet, and simple. I believe I heard you say Hakeem Nix, who I really like. Third-year wideout, you know, we always hear about those third-year wideouts, and I think Hakeem Nix kind of, I don't know if you would say busted out last year, but showed.
Oh, come on. He was definitely a bust-out wide receiver last year. I think the problem with Nix was, I think last year I was a guy that was touting him, you know, as a sleeper guy. And now I think that everybody, you know, now that they've seen how good he really is, I think a lot of people are overrating him at this point because
I frankly don't see
him as a top five receiver.
Well, I say that because, you know, I think he is going to be better than last year. So, you know, I think
the guy's fragile,
though.
He's very fragile. That's my problem with him.
Now, the only thing I will say is that he was actually the number three scorer in points per game last year.
No argument there. I think the guy is terrific. I just can't trust him to play 16 games. The guy's got delicate hamstrings. He's always pulling something. He had that compartment syndrome at the end of the season. He missed some games there. And he is a guy that, if you have him as your number one receiver on your team, he is a guy that, I don't know if you remember Brian Westbrook a few years ago, but you always had to worry about him being a game-time decision each and every week, and you were holding your breath as to whether or not he was actually going to play. I think that is the type of dilemma you're going to fall in. If Hakeem Nix is your number one guy and you draft him too early, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be a game-time decision a lot of times, and it's going to drive you off the wall.
Well, he only missed three games last year. Out of all the other games, he only had one game that was in single digits. And in the fantasy playoffs, he averaged about 18.5 points in weeks 14, 15, and 16, coming back from that compartment leg issue that he had. So all of that you said was totally right. I mean, he's actually played less games than Percy Harvin, when Percy Harvin is the guy that we usually think of when we think of injury. But he's played less games than Percy has. But at the same time, he still finished – with that, all of that going on, he still finished as the number eight wideout last year. He's only 22. I have to agree with Rick that he's just going to get better.
Yeah, I view him as a top 10 receiver. I'm just not ready to make him a top five guy. And I know I'm in the minority right there with that opinion.
I also like the fact that Steve Smith is pretty much going to start the season on the PUP list, and you know, his career is pretty much in jeopardy. So I think Nix is now that number one guy. You got Manningham emerging to take off some of the pressure. And, you know, again, it's his third year in the league, and I think his best football is ahead of him. The one guy that might concern me might be Reggie Wayne. Little wear and tear, any concerns there?
Well, everybody seems to be down on Reggie. Oh, he's fading by the wayside. And, you know, this guy had 111 catches last year, 1,300 yards. He's only 32, so that means he's got a couple more years left in him. And he's got Peyton Manning throwing to him. I can't see the downside. He's had over 100 catches the last three out of the last 4 years. I think he regresses back to his normal close to 10 touchdowns, too.
Look, the only thing that concerns me about Reggie Wayne, the guy is one of the more durable receivers out there. The only thing that concerns me is the emergence of some other guys around him. You know, you do have a Pierre Garçon as a guy that's full of potential. You have a guy like Austin Holley, if he could stay on the field, as a guy that's a very talented receiver. And now you're going to have the return of Dallas Clark, and Jacob Tammy is another talented tight end who emerged last year. So I think when you take all of that into account, I think that might put a little dent into his numbers. But overall, I think he is a reliable guy. I still consider him a top 10 receiver, just not a top 5 receiver.
The only caveat I'll say to that is real quick. Just if Clark stays healthy, you won't even hear the name Jacob Tammy this year.
Exactly. I mean, are those guys that good, or are they a product of the system? I mean, let's be real here. You put Jacob Tammy or Austin Colley or Pierre Garçon on another team, they're not putting up anywhere close to the type of numbers they produce with the Colts. But let's get the top five from the Reverend Ralph Mancini, see where he differs. I know there's been a couple guys not mentioned yet. Who do you have, Rev?
Well, top three, I pretty much have the same guys. Andre Johnson, Megatron, Calvin Johnson, Roddy White's my number three guy. I'm going to go with Miles Austin as my number four guy. And my number five guy is a guy that's going to shock a lot of people, but he's a receiver that I don't think we've seen the best out of, and that's Mr. DeSean Jackson, and he's my number five receiver.
Yeah, I, too, have DeSean Jackson in my top five.
Oh,
and,
really? Wait, you guys have to explain that to me. I mean, I like the guy, and he's an explosive player, no doubt. He makes great big plays. But you're talking about a guy who caught 47 passes last year, may not even be the number one on his own team. Explain to me how you can put him in your top five, please.
Well, first off, if he's not the number one on his own team, I don't think Jeremy Maclin is, so who is?
I think Maclin absolutely has more receptions by a ton than he does this year, and definitely I think he has more yardage.
I think
DeSean Jackson is the best big play receiver in the league.
I'm not arguing that, but in a PPR league, I'm not counting on a guy in a top five that caught 47 balls last year.
But, again, he's playing for a new contract also. And the fact that if he gets an entire season with Vic as his starting quarterback, who I think Vic is going to improve as well, I think that DeSean Jackson is going to put up career best numbers.
And I got to say, those numbers are deceiving. I mean, don't look too much into 47 receptions. He missed two games. What if he had two big games? You know, 47 receptions could be 65 receptions in those two games. I just think it goes back to the same logic that I used with Hakeem Nix. His better days are ahead of him. And this pick here is more of a projection pick, as well as another guy who I don't know if he cracks the top five, but he's definitely in the top 10, maybe the top 7. I like Mike Wallace.
Ooh, another guy. Yeah, see, again, don't get me wrong. I like Mike Wallace. I think he's a great receiver, all that. But, again, it's hard for me to put a lot of faith in those guys that are going to have games where they catch two passes for 40 yards. If I'm looking for a number one receiver, I want a guy who's going to get close to that 100 catches each and every year.
Well, 10 touchdowns doesn't hurt either. I mean,
don't touchdowns count for anything?
Mike Wallace put up 10 touchdowns last year as, you know, a complimentary part almost. Now, I got to tend to believe here that Hines Ward is going to take a major decreased role. In fact, I think Emmanuel Sanders is actually going to wrestle that starting job away from Hines Ward. And Mike Wallace is going to emerge as the number one wide receiver on Pittsburgh. Also,
well, he is the number one. He's the number one now.
And he was playing without Ben Roethlisberger the first four games. You don't think that makes any bit of a difference?
Of course it makes a difference. But you got to remember, he also had a great game in three, where he had 100 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah,
and
one
that was
game.
Without Ben.
Yeah, one game. The other three games, he had six catches for under 100 yards combined.
Well, again, I'm not complaining, but I agree. But, I mean, he had a stretch like that with Ben, 2 weeks, 12, 13, and 14. Well, I don't think he would. He had three games where I don't think he passed five catches. And I don't even think he got 75 yards in each of those games.
I tell you what, Mike Wallace finished 7 of the last 10 games with over 100 yards.
Except for the three we just mentioned in weeks 12, 13, and 14. Which, you know, week 14 is the start of your fantasy playoffs, and that could have been a killer.
I mean, you know, you're taking one game out of 10.
No, I'm just saying, I agree with you. I like Mike Wallace. I just don't know if I'd feel comfortable with him as my number one. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, here's a guy coming off a career year who's just going to get better. Same as Hakeem Nicks. I'm not putting him in my top five. I'm just saying.
Oh, I thought
Mike
you were
Wallace.
Putting him in your top five.
No.
Then we're cool, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I did preface it by saying he's not in my top five.
I missed that then. My bad.
Down the door.
I'm on the hand as we speak. There, did you hear it?
Let me just go ahead.
No, I'm done.
No, look, I just wanted to say this. To me, a lot of wide receivers are not reliable on a week-to-week basis. That's why when I look at these top guys, I'm going to give you my elite guys. And to me, there are only three elite guys out there, and that's Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, and Roddy White. Those are the three elite guys I can count on each and every week who are going to catch a lot of balls and are going to score a lot more times than not. A lot of these other guys, to me, they're hit and miss. A lot of them are going to be very talented, but a lot of them are not going to be reliable week-to-week guys.
I'm not arguing.
All right, well, very good debate there with the top fantasy wideouts, and we're going to move on to some of the bust-out, you know, wideouts, third-year guys that we talk about so much. why don't you run them through it for us, Reverend?
I'm sorry, the bust-out guys, you said?
Bust-out
wideouts. Yes.
Bust-out wideouts, okay. Well, Taz brought up Percy Harvin before. I think he can be a bust-out guy. As Taz said, only missed three games in his career, but he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season. I think this could be the year where he goes over the 1,000-yard threshold. Another guy who I like is Johnny Knox, a guy who averaged 18.8 yards per reception per catch last year. I think he's a guy that also has a lot of room for potential for growth, I should say. And then finally, I'm going to give you a deep sleeper, a guy that I liked a lot coming out of college, and that's Mr. Jared Diller, who plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, the problem with him is he's kind of small, he's kind of light, and he can't stay healthy. But when this guy's in one piece, he's got outstanding leaping ability. He's a guy that gets in and out of his cuts very quickly, a guy that is a great route runner. And I think Jared Dillard is a big play guy. He scored over 60 touchdowns at Rice in college. And I think he is, let's just put him as a sleeper, a deep sleeper this year. And then, I know Taz is a big fan of Austin Collie. I guess I'll throw him in there, too. But he's got those concussion issues, and we'll see about that.
All right. Bust out, wide out, Taz.
Well, absolutely. Austin Collie is my number one. We saw what he could do last year. Of course, he had the concussions, all that kind of crap. I don't care if I can get him late fourth, early fifth round. I'm taking him in every single draft I can, just because we've seen what he can do. Is it a risk? Sure, it's a risk. Absolutely. Half these guys that we're talking about are risk every week. But I just love this kid's explosiveness. I know he has great rapport with Peyton, and Peyton seems to love him in the red zone. I just think he's just going to continue to show how great he is. Next one up is Jacoby Ford. I think he's going to take a huge leap forward this year. I think one of the best things for this team is that Hugh Jackson has taken over. Now you got an offensive-minded coach. I think it's going to help a ton, help Jason Campbell, you know, maybe settle down and get to be, you know, that quarterback we all think he can be. So that's number two. Number three for me is Andre Roberts in Arizona. Oh, love this kid coming out of school last year. Really liked him through the draft. Didn't like the fact that they drafted him in Arizona at the time because of Preston and Doucette. I didn't think he'd get much playing time, and of course he didn't. But Preston is now a free agent. It doesn't look like he's coming back. If that happens, early Doucette is not standing in Andre Roberts' way. Roberts is going to leapfrog him easily. And then the next one for me is Aurelius Benn. I'd really like to see what he can do with Mike Williams on the other side, drawing a lot of double teams. I think Aurelius Benn is going to be a very nice complementary wide receiver to Williams as my number four. And then my number five is Eddie Royal. We saw what he could do as a rookie. He took a big, you know, boulder to the head when Josh McDaniels and his crazy playbook came into town. He just didn't seem to have the wherewithal to learn that crazy playbook. Well, now, you know, he's got John Fox in the house, and they're not going to really have that same crazy playbook this year. I know it's the same offensive coordinator, but I can guarantee you John Fox is going to make him simplify this offense. And I think because he does, I think Eddie Royal comes back and becomes a viable fantasy football player again.
Interesting. I mean, I agreed with all the guys. I'm not so sure about Eddie Royal. Little hesitant there, but I did like all the other guys. I think Aurelius Benn is very intriguing to see what he can do this year. And then, you know, Mike Thomas is another third-year wideout guy. But the guy I want to throw out there and ask you guys, you know, on paper, is Brandon Tate the number one wide receiver for New England, or can he become the number one wideout? If the season were to start today, how much, you know, weight does Brandon Tate carry, assuming, say, New England doesn't sign another wide receiver? Does this guy have any value?
I don't think he's a go-to guy. I think that he is a big play guy. I think he's an occasional weapon, but I don't think he's going to be a week-in and week-out guy you can count on. I just don't see it. I don't think he's that type of player, especially in that offense where, you know, they throw the ball so much to the tight ends. And from week to week with the New England Patriots, it's like they feature like a new guy basically like every week. And so I don't see Tate being that number one type receiver, not for the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
and I totally agree. Forget Brandon. He's done with them. He had his chance. He didn't show a thing to that team.
I know Julian Edelman's going into his third year, but he's kind of backing up Wes Welker. I mean, who's going to catch the balls in New England?
Well, I think Welker bounces right back up to that 100-catch territory this year. Deion Branch takes his bit. And then I think the guy that becomes the long-distance guy for them, if they don't go out and get somebody in free agency, is going to be Taylor Price. You know, hearing a lot of good things about him. He's putting in a lot of hard work. He wants to be out there doing as much as he can. And those are all good things and all things that weren't being said about Brandon Tate this time last year. So I'm really
love
looking
Taylor
for him.
Price.
I'm sorry?
Love Taylor Price. Love Taylor Price.
Yeah, I think he just leapfrogs Tate this year big time.
I could see it. I wouldn't be surprised. Another guy that I like that, you know, Dynasty League now, you know, you stash a guy like Taylor Price. You stash a guy like Victor Cruz of the New York Giants. You know, and then before we move on, you know, we talked about Wes Welker. I think Danny Amendola becomes the poor man's Wes Welker down in St. Louis. If you look at the receptions that guy started to put up towards the end of the season, I think, you know, between Amendola and Brandon Gibson are probably going to be the two guys that emerge there in St. Louis.
What kind of upside are you going to get with Amendola, though? He's only averaging eight yards per catch, though.
Yeah, he actually has the lowest average per catch of anybody who caught at least 60 balls. I saw that, Ralph.
Well,
that was a very interesting stat right there.
call me crazy. I might just break this limb if I walk out any further on it. But I think Danny Amendola is going to approach close to 100 catches.
I'd like to agree with you. I just think that we're going to see there's a good chance we're going to see them start to push Greg Salas into that starting lineup in that role because he does more with the ball in his hands than Amendola does, which is actually a shock to me because Amendola is such a great returner. But the fact of the matter is, as a receiver, he just doesn't get any yards after catch. I think that's something we'll see a lot more of from Salas. And Salas is a McDaniels pick. It's not, you know, Amendola wasn't. I think that scares me a little. Don't get me wrong. I like Amendola. And if he stays in the slot, he's definitely going to be good value. Problem is, I'm just not so sure he stays there.
Yeah, I just think in a PPR league, you can find some value there. Listen, I'm not saying the guy is going to be a bust-out, you know, bona fide number one or number two guy. But, you know, don't be surprised if he has his weeks where he has double-digit catches and in PPR, that counts for something.
No, I agree. I mean, he had a great season last year.
Rick Serratella, Reverend Ralph Mancini, the Fantasy Taz, going around position by position, breaking it down. Going to talk about some wide receivers a little bit more. Going to go back over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Tell me some wide receivers to avoid.
You know, I'm just going to focus in on one guy here since we already talked about some of the other receivers that I would avoid already. I'm going to go with Brandon Marshall. To me, here's a guy that's playing, you know, unless the Dolphins get themselves a better quarterback, he's going to be playing with a lousy quarterback with Chad Henne at the helm there. And to me, Marshall is a guy who is a glorified possession receiver. I don't think he's as fast or as explosive as he used to be. And he doesn't have a great surrounding cast around him. I don't see great potential for him to put up tremendous numbers this year. I know he's working hard and, you know, he's trying to get faster. He's trying to get better. You know, and you hear a lot of those same old stories you hear each and every year. But I just don't see it with Brandon Marshall. And I'm going to try to avoid him because he does have that big name. He's got the big name recognition. And sometimes that can hurt you in fantasy leagues because they're going to draft guys like that a little bit too early.
Yeah, interesting. What's your take on that, Taz?
Well, you know, I like Marshall. I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. And I definitely have to disagree that he doesn't have any players around him. Devon Vess is an excellent possession receiver as well.
Okay, that's one guy.
Brian Hartline played pretty damn well before he got hurt last year. Go back and look at the numbers. They went out and got Edmund Gates, who I think is going to be a nice
He's a raw kid, man. You can't expect anything out of him as a rookie.
But all he's got to do is run that nine route and go. And hopefully Henne hits him. That's all I can say to that. But just the fact that you have somebody on the field that can do that should be able to pull back those safeties and give Marshall a little bit more room over the middle. Am I saying that Marshall gets back to the 100 receptions? Probably not. But, you know, I still wouldn't be surprised at all if he has, you know, 90 receptions, 1,100 yards, maybe 5, 6, 7 TDs. So, you know, I'll take that from him. But if you're looking for value, he probably doesn't give you a lot of value because he's still being drafted pretty early.
Yes.
Brandon Marshall can be as good as he wants to be when he wants to be, and that's the problem. It's just not all the time. Go ahead, Taz. Who are you avoiding?
I'm going to start with Vincent Jackson. I just think he's being drafted way too early. You know, he's a good middle-round wide receiver to me. He's never had double-digit touchdowns, you know, cracked 1,000 yards a couple times, but he's not a guy that's going to get you 100 receptions while he's doing it. And I just think people are overvaluing him way too much this year. He's going, you know, early in like the third round, and I just can't see it. There's too many other guys I like to grab him there. Greg Jennings is another one that has me concerned a little bit. They are, you know, if Finley comes back and he can stay healthy, again, another big if, I think that hurts him a bunch. And I'm just worried about it. You know, they went out and got another guy in Randall Cobb. You know, everybody's expecting Jordy Nelson to break out. You know, if all this happens, it's got to come from somewhere, and I think it comes from Jennings. I think it hurts him a little. Dwayne Bowe is another guy I'm going to avoid just for all the reasons we talked about before with Matt Castle. Tougher schedule. I just don't think there's any way he can repeat last year's numbers. And, again, he's being drawn, picked way too early. So I'll start with them. I won't even get into Steve Johnson.
All right. I think a couple other guys fantasy football owners might have reservations about. is Kenny Britt, for one. This guy's just a head case. Not because of his talent, but because of off the field, you just don't know if he's coming or going, if he's going to be facing a suspension, if he's going to get in more trouble. You know, he's a disgrace to the state of New Jersey right now, but he is a Rutgers guy. I was rooting for him, but, you know, right now I'm just not on the bandwagon. It doesn't mean I can't hop back on board, but he's going to have to show me a lot, both on and off the field, for me to feel comfortable to have him on my fantasy team. And then the other guy I'm done, sick and tired of waiting on, is Michael Crabtree. You know, you could stick a crab in it. I don't know. I just, this guy, I can't put my chips on the table with Michael Crabtree. He's all talk, no walk. And
he's not a hard worker either.
Yeah.
That's not a very hard worker.
He's very talented, just doesn't want to put in the time. And I
absolutely
agree with you.
All right, guys, you know, one thing, a hot topic when free agency in the NFL resumes or begins, one position that people are really focusing on is that wide receiver position, Taz. And you talk about some pretty big-name players out there. Who are some of the movers and shakers that you're going to be monitoring?
Well, Santoni Holmes is by far the one I'm watching the most. You know, everybody just thinks it's a given. He's coming back to the Jets. And you know what? I'm sorry, I don't believe that. He may come back to the Jets, but you know what? Whoever ends up offering him the most money, that's where he's going to go play. There's really not a lot of loyalty in that man's bones. He came out and said it early in the offseason. He's going to explore free agency. He wants to see what his worth is. And you got plenty of teams out there that are starving for that number one wide receiver. Teams like Washington, there's a ton of them that have money, that will spend money, that will go out and try and get him. So I'm definitely concerned about that because I think the Jets take a major hit if he goes. Of course, the other side of the ball is Braylon Edwards, another one. Everybody's talking, oh, they're going to let him go. You know, watch this whole situation. He had a good year last year with Sanchez. If it was me, if I was the Jets, I'd try to keep both these guys because they're not going to be able to replace them easily. But at least one of them is going to go, if not both, and it'll be interesting.
And also Brad Smith is a free agent there as well.
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
Not a big fantasy football name. Unless you're in return leagues, and even then it's a little sketchy with Brad Smith. They never seem to use him right.
Or
the explosive player that he is, they just never seem to find a way to get him involved enough.
Well, you know something, guys? Regarding Santonio Holmes, the team to watch out for there are the Washington Redskins, because I know that they're going to try to move heaven and earth to bring that guy to the team. And I'll tell you something, if the Jets can't bring Santonio Holmes back, he's going to be hard to replace, and I think the Jets might suffer because of that. I think Santonio Holmes was the MVP of that Jets team last year, where he single-handedly won them four games by himself. And so I think the Jets are going to have to try to do their best to bring him back, or else they're in big trouble.
I agree.
Big money clutch player, Santonio Holmes. Also, if he goes to the Redskins, then that means Santana Moss will be looking for a new home. Any other wideouts, Rev, that you're watching, keeping an eye on?
Yeah, Sidney Rice is a guy I'm keeping an eye on. A guy who really had only one really great year, but, man, was he good that year. And he brings the size at 6'4". I remember Brett Favre saying about him that he was the best receiver that he ever threw to. So, I mean, that's got to carry a little bit of weight right there. And, just having those big guys makes things so much easier for quarterbacks. Another guy like that, obviously, is Plexico Burress, who's going to be a free agent. I know Eli Manning loved throwing him the ball because he's so damn tall. You have Vincent Jackson, Braylon Edwards, as you mentioned, and another guy who I think I brought up before, I'll bring him up again, Stevie Breston, who isn't quite as big as some of those other receivers that I mentioned, but is a good shifty slot guy, a very quick guy, and I think he can help out a lot of teams out there.
And, you know, you mentioned Plaxico Burress, and we'll wrap it up, the wide receiver position with him. But I'll pose a question that involves a running back, and I just want to gauge your guys' opinion. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think either one is going to have much of a fantasy football impact, but I'm just curious to hear from your standpoint, fellas, you know, who's going to be more productive or who's going to make more of an impact this season, Plaxico Burress or Tiki Barber? Started off with you, Taz.
I'd have to believe Plaxico Burress, just for the fact that, you know, they get in the red zone, they can throw him into the corner, throw the fade, let him jump up and get it. He's always been great at that. You know, if he's in any kind of shape, I see him do that. Tiki, I think, is just going to have a lot tougher time if they're trying to be a running back.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, running back position, though, is very, you know, easy to adapt to, right? You know, you just come in and run, you know, hit the hole. And, you know, Tiki, if he goes to Pittsburgh, for example, he could be a nice little situational player. We saw Mike Vick come out, you know, it took him a while.
Yeah, but it took Mike Vick a long time. It took Mike Vick some time to really, you know, get back into things, you know. And, you know, whereas Plaxico Burress, you know, he can make an impact just by catching one or two passes in the end zone. Tiki Barber, you know, he's going to have to make more plays to make more of an impact than Plaxico Burress. And while I think that Tiki's definitely strong enough to play in the NFL right now, I just don't know how quick he is at this point and how durable he's going to be at this point. Those are all big question
all
marks.
Just curious. Just wanted to gauge your guys' reaction on that one. And we're winding down here, about 15 minutes or so to go with the Fantasy Football Insider Show. Rick Saratella, Reverend Ralph Mancini, Fantasy Taz. Want to talk about some tight ends real quick. Guys, you know, I think we pretty much know who the cream of the crop is when it comes to the tight ends. Rev, I'll start it off with you. Wherever you want to go with it, you want to give us some bust-out guys, some guys to avoid, free agent tight ends that you're watching, wherever you want to go with it. Enlighten us on some tight end knowledge.
Well, you know, since you brought up free agents, I'll focus on some guys who will be free agents once the lockout is over. And to me, if I had to rank them, I'd put Zach Miller at the top of the list. He's a guy who's very reliable, very shorthanded. He knows how to get open. I know what I'm going to get out of Zach Miller. Plus, he's a young guy, and so he can give me a few years of good, solid production. My number two guy is going to be Owen Daniels, who, I mean, let's face it, he's in a great offense, in a great situation, but a guy who's had a number of knee issues, knee surgeries in the past few years. And so, and the other thing that bothers me about Owen Daniels is you take a look at him and all the yards and all the catches that he's put up in the past few years, he's never surpassed 5 touchdowns in any of those years. So to me, he just doesn't score enough to be, you know, one of those 5-star elite tight ends. So I'll put Owen Daniels number 2 among the free agent tight ends. And then I'll go with Mercedes Lewis as my number 3 guy. You know, Lewis is not as flexible and not as fast and not very fast at all, but what he has is size. I mean, when you see the guy get open in the middle of the field, he looks like the Jolly Green Giant out there, and you see, you know, poor little defensive backs trying to hold on for life, trying to bring this big gigantor down. And I think the fact that he's such an effective red zone weapon makes him a valuable guy. My number 4 free agent is Kevin Boss. You know, a decent pass catcher, a good blocker, but a guy who has some issues catching the football. Then number 5 is David Thomas, a guy that's never going to be a number 1 tight end, probably not durable enough to be a feature tight end, but a guy that's going to get you some first down, is going to gain some yards, a good pass catching tight end. So those are my free agent guys that I'll be looking at.
The only problem with that is that Owen Daniels, just so you know, isn't a free agent anymore. He signed a 4-year deal back in March.
Oh, he did. Okay. All right. My bad. Okay.
Yeah, no worries.
But I still have my concerns about Owen Daniels, though.
Actually, I like him this year. I think he looked healthy at the end of the season. I think if he is indeed healthy, I think we go back to looking and put up some nice numbers this year.
Touchdowns is he going to score?
No. Yeah, he's not a big touchdown guy, but not many tight ends are.
to be an elite tight end, you got to score over 5 touchdowns. That's just the way
we're talking about free agents. We're not talking about elite.
Okay, no, I was ranking free agents, but now that he's not a free agent, I'm just looking at him and comparing him to some other top, you know, top level tight ends out there.
Yeah, right. No, he's not elite. I'm not totally agree with you. Zach Miller is obviously the top guy. Mercedes Lewis, number 2. But there's really not much after that. Kevin Boss, like you said, a guy that could be a sleeper is Evan Moore, but you know, he's more of a wide receiver than he really is as a tight end. He actually did more of his damage with Cleveland as at wide receiver than at tight end. So it's interesting to see what happens with him. I think he's definitely hasn't been used correctly, but I think if somebody finds a way, kid's got good hands.
Yeah, I think it's easy to identify, you know, the top guys. You got Jason Witten, Antonio Gates is always there, Vernon Davis. Mercedes Lewis had a monster season last year, who you just mentioned, Taz. You know, maybe Tony Gonzalez has kind of fallen off that elite status now. But
yeah.
You have any bust-out guys that we should be looking out for, Taz?
Absolutely. The guy who's going to finish in the top three tight ends this year, Mr. Jimmy Graham. You want a guy who scores touchdowns, Rev? That's the guy who's going to score your touchdowns.
Absolutely.
He's going to score a lot of them in that offense. And people are out there saying, oh, he's still raw. You know what? He might be raw, but he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the league throwing the ball, and he's got a quarterback that loves to throw to the tight ends in the red zone. He had 5 touchdowns in very limited action last year. I love this kid this year. I think he's going to be right at the top of that. Next year, we're going to be talking of him as possibly the number one dynasty tight end in the league.
Wow. Talk about a bold statement. Taz going for it there. And I know Rev is also high on superstar Jimmy Graham. And I'm going to talk about a guy that they jettisoned out of town for Graham, and that's Jeremy Shockey. And don't be so quick to laugh because, you know, Chudzinski is over there in Carolina, and he was also once the offensive coordinator at the U when Jeremy Shockey was there. And Shockey said that had a lot to do with him signing with Carolina. Also, you know, if Cam Newton is going to be playing, I think the tight end is going to be a safety valve for him. So, you know, don't be surprised if Shockey has a nice little season in Carolina. Two more guys.
I 100% agree with
there.
You, by the way. I wasn't laughing.
Oh.
I totally agree with you.
Oh, appreciate that.
Hey, let me throw out another name. What about Tremaine Gresham?
Well, that was where I was going next. And, you know, Taz's guy is Jimmy Graham. My guy is Jermaine Gresham. I think this guy is going to take a big monster step forward. That's another guy that I am believing in. The next guy, I'm not saying that I am a believer, but, you know, I am going to keep an eye on him early in the year to see what he does. But he's just been so disappointing year after year after year. That's John Carlson. And with the Seahawks, but you know, doesn't somebody have to emerge as a playmaking tight end in that offense there? I don't know. I could be wrong. I always liked Carlson. I always liked him coming out. I'm not saying I'm believing in him. I am going to keep an eye on him.
And actually, he's sitting here right on my list for the same reasons. The fact of the matter is, the last 2 years he's been used to block way too much. He couldn't even
Correct.
Get out in the passing zone. Like I said earlier, they went out and got 2 good offensive linemen with the first 2 picks in their draft. So they're definitely
Correct.
Shoring up that offensive line. If they do that,
you're
going to see this kid get out in the passing game because he's too big,
yeah,
too strong, and he's
yeah.
got great hands.
Yeah,
well, I don't even
I
know who his quarterback is going to be, though.
Well, of course we don't. That's the issue. But I agree with Rick. It's not as somebody I'm going to go out and draft. But I'm going to watch him heavily in preseason, see what's happening, and watch him in the beginning of the year because he's definitely going to be on waiver wires.
Well, you know, that pretty much brings the end of tight ends. We got, you know, 5 minutes or so that I want to wrap up the show with a little bit of defense. You know, we were going to break it down for you like we did all the positions. I want to get in what we can since we're coming down to the nitty-gritty here. I'm just going to tell you real quickly who I had as my top 5 team defenses, and then I'll go to you guys for some IDP sleepers. I have Pittsburgh, Green Bay, the Jets, Baltimore, and Chicago as my top 5 defenses. I think it's a pretty solid top 5. I think Detroit and Tampa Bay are the 2 defenses that are ready to bust out. And then I'm going to throw out my IDP sleepers real quick. Guys that you should keep an eye on. Chris Long has led the league in hurries. And, in fact, St. Louis Rams have led the league in quarterback hurries the last 2 years. Throw the kid into the mix. They drafted the defensive end. His name is slipping my mind. I think Chris Long finally gets you double-digit sacks. Another guy Matt Shaughnessy from the Raiders came on strong last year, 7 sacks. I think he can approach double-digit sacks. If you're looking for tackles, I got 2 linebackers for you. Sean Lee in Dallas is going to be the starting inside. Keith Brooking is done. And watch out for this guy. I'm not saying to draft him. Keep an eye on Andy Studebaker, who's set to start for the Kansas City Chiefs on the outside. He could be holding that spot for Justin Houston, but this kid has made some plays. And at defensive back, I like Louis Delmas, who I just traded to the Reverend in a dynasty league. So those are my IDP sleeper guys. Quickly, guys, who are your IDP sleepers? I'll start it off with you, Rev.
Okay, I'll give you 3 guys real quick. A bargain basement guy who is a veteran, has been around for a while, Aaron Kampman from the Jacksonville Jaguars. When this guy is on the field, he's the heart and soul of the defense. The whole defense plays better when he's on the field. I think he's got one more season in him where he can get you double-digit sacks. In terms of linebackers, I like Clint Session from the Indianapolis Colts. He's a big play type of guy, a great blitzer. He plays with great leverage. I think he's a guy that you can get for a song, and he'll give you some production. And then we'll go a little bit younger here with the DBs, and I really love Malcolm Jenkins here, a guy who's instinctive, physical, alert. He attacks ball carriers. I think this guy's a star in the making. So those are my 3 sleeper guys.
The only concern I have, and I like the list, and I love Sessions, but he's actually a free agent, so it's going to be interesting to see if they bring him back after the injury last year. But I love him. I think they should. He's the biggest hitter they have on defense now. I'm going to throw a few IDP sleepers at you myself. First, I'm going to go on the other side. From you, Rev, I'm going to go with Jeremy Mincy, who actually came in last year and played very well in Jacksonville when all these other guys got hurt. I think he's definitely earned himself a lot more playing time. He's definitely going to surprise a lot of people. Greg Hardy in Carolina is another one I really like. We started to see him come on last year. I think with another offseason under his belt, I think we're going to start to see him step up this year, especially if there's any way they lose Charles Johnson. Couple more linebackers. Jonathan Casillas from New Orleans. Looked great in preseason last year. Got hurt. He's back. He's healthy. I think he does great. Doug Hogue in Detroit, I think, has a great shot to take over the weak side linebacker position there. James Holt in San Diego is another one. I think he's got a great chance to take over one of the inside spots in San Diego and really put up some nice fantasy points from that position. For DBs, I'll go real quick. Jaquan Jarrett for Philadelphia at strong safety is one. Jimmy Smith in Baltimore, a cornerback, is another. And then my last one is Morgan Trent, a cornerback in Cincy, now that it looks like they're going to lose Jonathan Joseph.
Well, let me give you one more guy, DeAndre Levy from the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
he's a physical guy who could fight his way off of blocks and behind that reinforced defensive line. If they put him at middle linebacker, I think this guy's going to come up with a lot of tackles.
And I'll throw one more guy in real quick that just came to mind, because if you're down with JPP, then you know me. But I like what that kid brings to the table. Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, he had some games at the end of the year there. If they don't bring back Kiwanuka, and, you know, you got OC crying over here, he wants out of town, hey, JPP could be starting opposite of Justin Tuck.
Absolutely agree. Won't fight that.
All right, guys, well, that about does it. That was 2 hours of power, commercial-free, right here on the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. I want to thank our special guest, Fantasy Taz, for joining us today. You can get more of him on Twitter, at Fantasy Taz. He's also on Facebook. He also runs GoAhedScoreIt.com, TwitterFantasyFootball.com, and the biggest, best IAP for fantasy football purposes is the Fantasy Football Draft Advisor. If you don't download this to your smartphone, what is it, I think $2.99, Jim?
Yep, $2.99.
Best $3 you'll spend for your fantasy football draft. Don't even waste your money on a fantasy football guide. Just download the Fantasy Football Draft Advisor. Of course, we got the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Always a pleasure having him. You can catch all his stuff over at the NFLDraftBible.com. He does it all, covering the FCS, NFL draft guys, fantasy football, NFL news, free agency. That's the Reverend Ralph Mancini. I am your host, Rick Saratella. that about does it. Till next time, log on to the NFLDraftBible.com or check us out on Twitter as well. We're at NFLDraftBible. We're also on Facebook, and we'll be announcing more shows in the near future. Until next time, we'll check you later. And, of course, it wouldn't be the end of the show unless... Where's my producer, baby?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Pump it up, up.